the field of experience. And then that attunement then brings with it a quality of pattern recognition, seeing how things fit together and relate with each other. It's not necessarily spelling that out with words, well, like with music. You know, I'm not a musician, but I've done a lot of chanting. And so attuning to the other voices that are there, or needing to ignore certain voices that are off key or going at a strange rhythm or that, or whatever it might be, that
that we're all familiar with.
We're all familiar with. So there's an attunement, there's a recognizing of the patterns that are at work, how things relate with each other. It's not having to spell that out and saying, oh, that voice is three notes above the home note, he's doing that wrong, or that, and therefore I am going to do this to counteract that. It doesn't have to be verbalized at all, but there's a knowing of what's there, recognizing of the patterns, and a responsivity in relationship to the patterns that are being recognized. Pattern recognition sounds a bit technical, but it's kind of the way, that's what we're doing. We're recognizing how the elements of the natural world relate to each other. In a way, it's like Dhamma Niyama, the lawfulness of how the natural world functions and how things relate to each other and function in connection with each other. And so it's the heart attuning to that way that the world works. And then the choices that come from that, to push forward, hold back, a bit left, a bit right, then that's coming from that attunement, not conceptual. Many of us have probably had that experience with chanting, for example. Particularly if you're leading it, if you have the thought, what does the next line begin with? What's the first word of the next verse? You're toast, as they say. You're done. You know what the next verse begins with, but as soon as you have the idea about it, then it's like, I've had the experience at the retreat at IMS, 100 people in the shrine room, kneeling down in front of the shrine, light the candles and the incense. How does it begin? Couldn't remember your soul. Just gone, because it's like, this is really important. I'm leading the chanting, there's 100 people in the room. How does it begin? Because of thinking about it, when you really know. So attuning to the situation and not laying an extra veneer of conceptualization on top of it, and then trusting that attunement. The very first sutta in the Samyutta Nikaya, I think we quote in this book.
I read it all.
You did, really. A devata asked the Buddha, how, dear sir, did you cross the flood, transcending the experience of samsara? By not halting, friend, and by not straining, I crossed the flood. But how is it, dear sir, that by not halting and by not straining, you crossed the flood? When I came to a standstill, friend, then I sank. But when I struggled, then I got swept away. It is in this way, friend, that by not halting and by not straining, I crossed the flood. It's kind of all-purpose life advice. To me, that's that quality of non-conceptual, non-personal attuning. Not thinking about it. And by not halting, by not straining, then the flood is crossed. So to the conceptual mind, it's like, but what am I supposed to do? He likes to have a formula or a plan. But the way of the Buddha and the way of awakenedness, I think it's no accident they put that as sort of, you know, sutta number one in the first chapter of the Samyutta. That's the representation of that attunement. The heart bringing itself into harmony with Dhamma, not pushing, not holding back. It can be frustrating to the mind that wants some more detail, specificity. To me, it's representing that kind of balancedness and the responsivity to the present experience.